yet, felt that it was a king. I don't want to talk about those things tonight a little bit about what he is to us. If we have the Bible, we'll go ahead and turn to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We keep pressing on. Maybe attendance on Thursday night will pick up, and we'll have some special song specials and things like that. But all that's in the hands of the Lord. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to make things work out. I just want to be faithful. And I know there's been plenty of times that I haven't been faithful to him. But I want to be.
Yeah.
And the more I see him moving on my behalf, the more I want to be. And we have to just learn how to walk in the grace of God and learn how just to pick up and go on. When we fall, just cover ourselves in his blood, get up and move on, and just keep pressing on. And watch him win the battles and victories for us. And so I just want to be faithful. And as I said, Sunday I made a decision to do what I'm doing because I wanted to be a help to you people, to you sheep. And I know Brother Daniel's got the same heart. He's got the same desire. And I could stand up here and spend the whole time tonight just relating to the things that the Lord has done to help the cause and to show that he's working with it. So just open your Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I don't like drinking behind a pulpit. I don't have to, but I struggle with my voice tonight. So you pray for me. We'll begin reading it. Let's begin reading it, verse 1. It says, "Be you their followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Of course, it goes on to speak about how a person can dishonor their head. And let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Read one verse there. That's just a few books over. Colossians chapter 1. Goes on into talking about how a person can dishonor their head, and it gets into what sounds like a woman cutting their hair, and it is talking about that, but it's also got other meanings, other things that go with that. And so I didn't continue on reading on that because that would get our minds on the things about women cutting their hair, and that's not what I want to talk about tonight. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. This is another familiar scripture to us. "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." And that's the thing I want us to remember there mostly, is that all things were created by him and for him. Let's bow our hearts to him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you tonight for the words that we just read, and Lord, the things that go with it, the revelation that you've given in this hour to help us to be overcomers, to help us to understand who we are, where we're at, how to be overcomers, Lord. We appreciate that, Lord. And we just ask for your blessings now upon the things that have been read. Lord, that you would just grant to us your Holy Spirit inspiration and move into the heavenly places of your word tonight, and we might be fed. Lord, that your sheep would receive strength tonight. We ask, God, that you'd help us in this. Know that it lays within your hands, Lord, only, not in the hands of a man. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated, and if the air conditioner runs a little bit too long and somebody wants it to be turned off, that could be fine. I meant to turn it to where it would shut off automatically, but as it is right now, it'll probably run all the time we're here, no matter how cold it gets. So, anyway, tonight, the title of what I want to speak about tonight, Just want to call this, in every situation, Christ is the answer. In every situation, Christ is the answer. I believe with all my heart, if we could master that understanding and how to conduct ourselves based upon that thought, I think we would see, I know we would see things be a lot different than what maybe we would normally see. Brother Branham come along and he told us something that I don't guess I've ever heard anybody else say except those who believe the message of the hour. But he gave us this quote, and it says that when you read your Bible, no matter where you're reading in there, every verse, every line, every scripture speaks of Jesus Christ. And that if we did not see Jesus Christ in those scriptures, we need to go back and read it again. And so every story in the Bible, whether it's a story that will make you rejoice, a story that make you weep, whether it's a story that you feel like relates to you and to this day or not, whatever it is, every story, every example that's given in the Bible, every principle that is laid out there in the scriptures, all of those speak of Him. And I'm going to say it this way, it has to speak of Him. Right. And the reason why it has to speak of Him is because there's only one form of eternal life.
That's right.
And everything outside of that doesn't have life unless He's in it. So no matter what it is, He's got to be in there for life to be in that. And we know that there's principles and things, just the way you can take sinners, they get up, and they're good providers for their family. A man that maybe is a sinner don't know God, but he's a good provider for his family. He gets up every day and goes to work, and or whatever it may be. And maybe it's a mother, the way she tends to her children, whatever it is. But it's those things of life that work. And even though they're sinners, there's a pattern in there that was set forth by God, and it's God's provided way. And so, because it's His provided way, He's in it. I hope you understand what I mean by that. But all things are made by Him and for Him. And after all, if He's life, then He has to be in there in order for it to be to have life. And therefore, every verse, every story, every scripture, every principle, it's all that's right, has to speak of Him because He is the source of all those things. The scripture tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. You know, from Him, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variable so shadow of turning. And so it all comes from Him and it speaks of Him. And so He is the answer, as we have titled it, in every situation. Christ is the answer. He is the answer, no matter what it is. And what I want to show you tonight is that He's the answer before, during, and after. And we'll see that come out quite a bit, I think, as we talk about that. So He's the answer before, during, and after. And so with this thought, I want to talk a little bit about the Garden of Eden. What happened in the Garden of Eden? What was the problem in the Garden of Eden? With this thought in mind, Christ being the answer. And so I want to start out by saying that God is a rank-and-file God.
Yeah.
And I don't know if everybody understands what I'm speaking of. I don't know, but let me give you, in the context of what I'm talking about, we probably understand the terminology of rank. Like military soldiers, and whether they're sergeants, or whether they're generals, or corporals, or whatever, all of those titles of those men's position, or those soldiers' positions, they all speak of the authority that that person has. And it speaks of where he is in this chain of command. So you got all this army, and different people having different ranks have different powers and different authorities. The top of the entire military is the President of the United States, right? And then you've got the generals that work underneath him. I don't understand all of how that works, but you have generals that are over great campaigns. If you remember back in the war in the Middle East, General Schwarzkopf was one of them. General Colin Powell was another one. Those men were the men who were were calling the shots, and all the armed forces were out and doing what those men said do, because they had the highest rank and authority. And of course, you have to. They had to be men who were capable of doing that. They had to have had a career. They had to have attributes in them that would place them so high in command that they could handle all of that. Those soldiers and people and equipment and power beneath them.
Right.
So you kind of, as we talk about this, remember this as we're talking about rank. The higher you go in rank, the more authority you have. And, you know, a little bitty soldier might sit back and go, well, look at, Colin Powell. You know, he's lucky. Look at all the power he has. But Colin Powell's got a lot more at stake at his decisions than what the little guy that's just patrolling maybe a highway or something, an entrance to some area. A lot more at stake there. And so God is a rank and file God. In other words, in God's economy, God establishes and recognizes ranking. And so rank and file, and what we mean by file is you've heard, you children probably going to school, you've heard this, to line up in single file. You ever heard that? Right, line up in single file? So you line, that's a phrase that they use. And that's mean just to me, just for sake of what we're talking about tonight, it's just a straight line. Line up in a straight line. And so God has in his system a system of rank and file, meaning that he has people or authorities lined up in a straight line, and each one has their own power and authority, and there's a chain of command. That's what it is. It's a chain of command. And so God is a rank and file God, and he institutes it that way, and then he honors it. And God is not a God who's desirous to break rank. He is not desirous for us to break rank. He is desirous that we would recognize this program he has of being a rank and file God, that he establishes this in his way of doing things and in his people. And that we should follow those things. We should look at that. And I think that I'm not talking about worldly system. They have rank and file too. In your workplace, you've got bosses and supervisors and managers and all that kind of stuff. I understand that. I'm not trying to take that and say that portrays Christ. But I'm saying in the right way of doing things, when rank and file is observed and followed, the individuals who follow that, if they could just catch it, they'll realize it would probably take a revelation in the things I'm referring to tonight. But you realize that to recognize rank and file and to know how to use that is actually a gift to them. Because they'll know right what they're responsible for and what they're not responsible for. And they'll know exactly what. If they know what they're responsible for and they know what they're not responsible for, they're not going to be busy doing something that don't belong to them. They know what to be diligent to and what they shouldn't even be bothered with, not to worry about. And then they would also know what the other guy is responsible for, and let that man do his job while they do their job, and it speaks of a unity that comes. I believe the members of our body have rank and file. They know right where they belong, and that's what they do. They don't try to break rank. They know their position, and some are more comely than others. Some are seen, some are not seen. The ones that aren't seen are the ones that are most important.
Right.
So, you see, there's rank and file. And if people could catch that, realize that to understand that and use it for the way it is, it brings such a blessing on the individual, because they're not going to be burdened down with something that don't belong to them that they shouldn't be burdened down.
Right.
If they understand how the breakdown works, when something comes their way, they know how to use the channel of command to take this problem and roll it right into the one who's got the authority over that area, and he can just roll it right to him, and once he rolls it to the person it belongs to, he can go sleep and rest well at night.
Yeah.
See? That's how God put that in place. Now, we just read the scripture that the head of Christ is God. And the head of man is Christ. And the head of woman is the man. So right here is just a good example right here of God being a rank and file God. And there's things laying beneath there that I guess, like Brother Brad would say, we could probably preach on it for a year with the help of the Lord and probably not touch everything that was there. But what this speaks of, when the scriptures are saying, listen, and Paul picks up on this and he says, you know, the head of the woman is the man. Now, it might just sound like, well, you know, it's just head. He's the head, you know, he's boss, whatever. But there's a tremendous revelation that lays there of what I'm talking about. There's a tremendous thing laying there that God is speaking of an order. God is speaking of responsibilities. God is speaking of people in their position, and if they know how to use those positions properly, it becomes a gift to them, and they can walk in ever so much peace from day to day because they understand that concept. And so if the sisters understood the concept and the wives and the husbands, they understand how this works truly, they could just take this structure, and when something comes their way, like the wives, when something comes their way, if it comes their way, if they understand the structure and what God has established here, they could take that and say, you know what? That is not something that I need to be worried about. This is something for someone else in the structure, and take it to that person it belongs to, and then they can just rest and go on about what they are responsible for.
Right.
And by doing that, it rolls a lot of sorrows off of their shoulders. And so that's when we speak of rank and file God and a system that He puts in place. Then here's a good example right here. If the woman would understand this system of how it works, and also if the man understands. And I'll say a few things here in just a moment to come back to that. And so what this tells us, that also, that when Jesus Christ was walking this earth, He understood this same concept. He understood that there were certain things that was committed to Him and that was His responsibility. There were certain, He knew that when certain things came to Him, that He had to roll that off to His head. In other words, let me give you an example. Jesus said, I don't do anything except the Father shows me. Right? So no matter what comes along, Jesus says, you know what? I consult my head. I go to my head and see what His voice is on this before I do something. And then whatsoever the Son of Man sees Him do, that's what the Son of Man does likewise.
Right.
So all Jesus is speaking of here, Paul is bringing it to show us here, that all he's talking about is Jesus said, you know what? I understand rank and file, and I understand. He could say this, even though that I am Him in flesh and He's dwelling in me,
yeah.
But while I'm here in flesh, there's a submitting I have to do to Him,
that's
even
right.
though He's in me, because I'm a pattern for those to come. And I realize that if I'm going to overcome and defeat this thing that's before me now, I'm going to have to do it by His guidance. Right? And so he would take and use that arrangement to His advantage. Because you know what? If He would try to do something that wasn't from the Father, then it would mess up. It would be all kinds of troubles that would go on, see? And so Jesus, as a man, it was somewhat limited as a man, and to the point that He had to say, I can't do it unless I see the Father. I'm not going to do it unless I see the Father. And then whatever I see the Father do, I want to do it. In one place, He said, Father, I thank You, you know, because I always do the things that are pleasing to You. I'm always doing that. So this is speaking of Jesus Christ understanding the rank and file system of God, understanding the position He was called to at that time. In other words, maybe he was only a sergeant. And while he was a sergeant, he had to act like a sergeant. He had to take commands from somebody above him as a sergeant, but at some point he would be elevated to be general.
Right.
And at some point being as general, you see. And so that's why it's the same way even in a church. Even in church with ministry and all that, there's a structure to that. And there'll always be someone you have to answer to. You say, well, General Schwarzkopf or General Powell or whatever, you know, they're at the top of the chain. No, they had to answer to the president. They had to answer to the people. The president has to answer to the people.
Right.
And the voice of the people, the vote of the people is the way things are going to go. And it's the same way in church.
Yeah.
And so, but the thing we want to get here tonight is to look at this and realize that if we could understand this concept of rank and file and how a structure God has in place, that there's only one who's truly at the top, and that's God. And he was the head to Christ. And now Christ is at the top because he's been, all heaven and everything, powers in heaven and earth getting given to me. So now he's elevated. He's at the top. Now man, right? And so now man, in his capacity, becomes God in the home, and his wife is, you see? And so I know we understand this concept, but just to look at it from a different point, maybe we can glean some things out of here that would help us in ways that maybe we wouldn't have noticed before. And so this is a structure, and what you find out is that there's all kinds of types of Christ. So, and we just gave the example that the husband in the home is a type of Christ or a type of God over the home. He is the image and glory of God, Scripture says. So God is saying, look, in my rank and file system, all these places down through authority, in those places there's someone who represents God, and there's someone who has to follow that leadership. And it might be, this happens many places. Where it was with Christ, he had to submit to God. Where the man has to submit to Christ. Where the wife, and each one of them, as the wife looks up to the husband, she needs to recognize he is the image and glory of God. When the man looks to Christ, he needs to realize he is, because the Scripture says he is, he's the very expressed image and glory of God. And Christ had to look to the Father. So every one of us in our walk, we have an authority to look to, and there's a rank and there's a file there, and we don't jump outside of that single file.
Right.
We stay in line and recognize the authority levels and use them to our benefit.
Amen.
To help us overcome, help us be good stewards in the authority that we do have and what has been given to us, the domain portion that is ours.
Amen.
So if we're a soldier out there, it might be just patrolling a gate. Other soldiers might be out and, you know, might be patrolling missile sites or something, or whatever it might be. They all have their responsibility, and they've been given the power and authority to do that. And they've also given the knowledge and wisdom on how to turn and notify higher-ups when they got a situation that needs it.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. And so, don't mean to make you think I'm just staring you down, because there's nobody over here to look at, nobody over here, everybody's in the middle. So I don't have to turn much, my head much, but you understand this concept here. So in that, there's so many types of Christ, so many in their ranking system that it becomes Christ to them. And so you won't find the little foot soldier. He's got a sergeant of some sort that he answers to. I don't know the ranking, but you forgive me if I don't have it right. But he has a job to do, and he goes about doing it. He gets his instruction from his sergeant, whoever it is. And when something comes that's outside of what he feels like he can handle, he doesn't pick up the phone and call General Schwarzkopf. He would break chain of command. That's not the way it works. He would notify his sergeant. That sergeant's over all kinds of things like that, and when he might say, oh, here's what you do, here's how to handle that, he might know his domain and his authority and say, oh, I can handle that. But he also knows that when something comes, he's like, you know what, I better go to the general or whoever. See? And so he picks up, when that time comes, he calls. And so what is he doing? He's staying in rank. He's honoring that rank and file system. And he's not going to be bothered with this, because he knows this is not my decision. It belongs to someone higher up, and he takes it to that person. And if he needs to go higher, that person takes it on higher up until, if it has to, it comes to the President of the United States.
Yeah.
Right? That's the way it works. And so, God is a rank and file God. He has that, and there's types of Christ. And in there, every one of those, there are those who whoever it is that someone's answering to, that person is in the image of God to that person in that ranking system. And you'll find out that leadership comes through that person. Whoever that person is who is your general or your sergeant, The leadership comes through that, and I want to show you here, the Word comes through that. And that Word doesn't come from somewhere else, it comes through that channel of command. And the reason why I'm saying that is, if you'll watch here, is that when God said, asked the question a while ago, well, what was the problem in the Garden of Eden? When God created Adam, they said, be fruitful, multiply, don't touch that tree, you know, don't eat of it. Didn't say don't touch it, but don't eat of it. Eve wasn't even around. When God said that, Eve hadn't even been formed yet. She was in Adam. And then later on, God took her from his side, brought her to him. And you'll find out if you read scriptures, God didn't tell her, don't eat it, of that tree. The responsibility of that word came from her husband.
Yeah.
It was come from him. It was Adam's responsibility to do that. He was the word to her. He was leadership or whatever. That, and I realize they weren't in a fall, so there was a co-equalness there. But still yet, even in that co-equalness, Adam was the one who spoke in word, not her.
Right.
He still had it. Why? He was still the image and glory of God. He was put here on earth to be that image of God and had control of everything as God on earth. All the animals, at one point, even before he was in flesh, he led the animals like the Holy Spirit leads in spirit form. And so he was God on earth. She was there, and even though there was a co-equalness with her, she didn't have spoken word in her mouth. He did. She could say, oh, it's too windy. He could say, peace be still. He could do that because he was a son of God that hadn't fallen. And so, just to show you there, he was her leadership. It was to come that route. And so the word would come through that one, that channel. And so God wasn't just going to come around and come down and say, oh, Eve, I won't, by the way, I was going to tell you, I told Adam, you know, thus and thus, and you need to do the same. That's not the way it worked. God committed that to Adam, and Adam was the source of that command, the source of those things. And Eve's responsibility was to look to her leadership.
Yeah.
Now, we find out that that probably, I'll go ahead and say it this way, Adam had not told her. We could debate this, but let's just assume it this way for the sake of getting the point across tonight. Let's say that if he had have told her, why, she'd have stayed away from it. Okay? So let's just say he hadn't told her. And I say that because there's a theme all throughout the scriptures of God leaving the gate open so that something can happen. And that'll make more sense here in just a moment when we get a little further in what I want to say about it. But before we go further with that, I want to say a few more things about this rank and the headship over a person. The headship over a person or over a people or whatever it is and whatever ranking, that headship has advantages over the rest. Because he has that authority, he has advantages over the rest, but he has more responsibility than the rest of those that are underneath him. He is the watchman, and he's got evil vision.
Right.
Just simply by his position and where he's at. You know, we had a couple of guys at work that not in my department, physically in my department, but not in my department, and they actually are changing and moving to another Baldor facility. Well, I knew about that a couple of weeks ago, and it came out just a couple of days ago, oh, you know, these guys are moving, you know, and somebody, I think, asked me, you know, did you know about it? And it was one of my technicians asked me. And, I did. I knew about that about 2 weeks ago. And the idea was like, well, you didn't tell us. I wasn't supposed to tell them. They weren't supposed to know until after a certain amount of time had transpired. And I was told, you don't say a word about it. Right? I was privy to information. I could make decisions knowing that these men, they occupied space that was in my domain, even though they didn't work for me. And that space is going to become available to be used. I could start making decisions and plans on what I'm going to do in that spot because I was privy to that information and they weren't to know it yet.
Yeah.
And the time came that they could know it. And the CUC, well, why? You didn't say nothing. Well, like they were supposed to know. And so sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we're like, well, you know, I'm supposed to understand this. Well, maybe at a time you will, but there's a time maybe you shouldn't.
Yeah.
And so he has, this man in a position has advantage. He'll be privy to knowledge that maybe the others won't. And the reason why I'm saying that, I said he's the watchman. The watchman on top of the wall is a man who's trained for that, obviously. He's responsible for all them people. And he's set up there and he's fitted for watching and recognizing. He would know the apparel that people wore, he would know the way horses astride, so he knew what kind of horse it would be and probably where it come from because of the horses from different areas. He could look at the way the chariots were or whatever. The way a man walked, you know, you can walk, look at someone and tell whether they're a man or a woman just by the way they walk.
Right.
But you know, because their structure's different. Brother Bam talked about looking at the birds. You can be far enough away, not even see what it is, but just by the way it would move in the air, he could tell what kind of bird it was.
Right.
So there's characteristics. Well, these men that were watchmen on the walls, they were skilled to be able to have good eyesight and to watch. And when everybody else is at rest and peace, he's up here on duty. And it's his responsibility. And the scriptures even held him responsible and said, listen, if there's an enemy coming and you don't warn the people and they die at the hand of that enemy, the blood is on that watchman. Their blood is on him. He's responsible.
Right.
And so you find out he's gifted to do things they can't do, but there's a responsibility that comes with that gift and that position. And so he's a watchman. He's got eagle vision. He's going to see that enemy coming long before anybody else down there does.
That's right.
And so every man that's in this ranking that I'm talking about, a rank and file God, rest assured, your boss, your person that you reach out to, he sees things coming that you don't see.
Yeah.
Rest assured, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he's privy to information and things that you aren't. Until he knows it's time to tell you, or how to distribute that to you, you just have to know that because that's the way it works. So you children, you fit in this ranking too.
Okay.
Mommy and daddy's above you. And they're going to see ways that Satan wants to destroy you long before you see it. Mom and daddy's going to see it.
Right.
And mom and dad is going to make decisions about your life that you might not like, but they're doing it because they see that enemy. They know a plan that you haven't figured out yet.
Right.
Because it hasn't come to you. And that's the way the whole thing works. So the children might as well just make up their mind. You know what? Mommy and daddy knows things I don't, and they know what's best. And I'm going to submit to that rank and that file and that position, and I'm going to find out that if I do that right, it'll be a gift to me.
Yeah.
Even back to what I said last week, the first commandment we promise that you'll live long is the what? That you submit to that rank and file of mom and daddy, that they fit a little bit above you than where you are. The same thing, husband can turn around, or wives can turn around and say, you know what? There's things my husband will always see and understand that I won't see myself unless he shares it with me and helps me to understand. That's why the scripture talks about a woman learning at home.
Right.
Doesn't mean she can't sit and listen and learn from the pulpit. That's not what it's necessarily saying, but if it gets right down to it, there is a relationship that God has established there between husband and wife. And it says, listen, wives, there's a rank and file here.
Yep.
You get down to business, you go home and you talk to your husband and you find this stuff out. And the husband, if he's got questions, he knows where he needs to go to get answered. But the point I'm getting at here is that wives, when they would recognize that and use that position instead of fighting against it, use it for something that they can enter into and have so much peace because they just roll problems right over to the husband that they know they can't handle them anymore. And so, same way with husbands, to realize that, you know what, The Lord Jesus Christ will always know how things need to work better than I will, than we would, right? And we always need to go to Him. Go to Him when we have things. Because He's got equal vision over me.
Amen.
He's a watchman. I might be a watchman on the wall for my people, but He's on a higher wall than I am.
That's right.
He's got greater vision than I do. So in my quest to protect and serve and keep the people underneath me, I know what I've got to do that right. In order to do that right, I know that I've got to turn around and go right straight to my general and ask him, what do I do here? How do I do this? And so it's that way all along. The husbands and wives do that with their children all the time, is asking God and wives going to the husbands and what I do here. And so the revelation behind it makes it become a gift. Now, so we're talking about headship, leadership, generals, whatever. We're talking about rank and file. And there is an honoring and there's a dishonoring of your head. Whoever you are, you can honor your head or you can dishonor your head.
That's right.
Paul talked about it right there, and it's not just talking about husband and wife, it's talking about the whole thing.
Right.
That man, Christ honored his head. Man should honor Christ, but a man can dishonor Christ too. The wives should honor the husband, and they can dishonor the husband. And there's many ways to honor or dishonor your headship.
Right.
There's many ways to step out of rank and file. There's a broad way to destruction, but a narrow way that leads to life. And so, there's an honoring and a dishonoring that can happen there, and we want to pay attention to that because there's so many ways to dishonor. So what the problem was, God wouldn't come down and say, you know what, Eve, I'm going to destroy you. And she could say, but nobody told me. Right?
Yeah.
Nobody told me. Adam, didn't you tell her? No, I didn't tell her. You didn't tell her? No. Well, then God's not going to destroy her because nobody told her. She didn't know. As I said a while ago, let's assume that she hadn't been told, and if she had, she would have not did what she did. And so, God wasn't going to destroy her because she didn't know. But the problem was that she broke rank. The problem was she didn't honor that file. The problem was that when she was confronted with something, she didn't go to her husband, to her leadership. She didn't consult the word of the hour for her to find out what to do. That was the problem. God doesn't tell us, oh, you must know all things and all revelations or else. No, He doesn't say that. But what He does say is, come to me and I'll help you with it. Turn to me and I'll help you in every way. That's the concept. And so Eve, even though they were in that way, where it was a glorious, no sin and all that, there was still a rank and file present that God had established. And so there was still a way that she was to turn to that word, her husband, that word of God that was coming through him, turn to him and for him to give her instructions. And she failed to consult him, just like you see all through the scriptures. And that's what made the problem happen right there, because of it. So, one of the things I want you to see tonight is that if she had have consulted her husband, if she had have went to him and said, you know, the serpent has been talking to me, and I'm not sure about what he's saying, I need you to tell me about it. If she would say, you know what, I understand the rank and file, and I understand that my husband is a watchman over me, and he sees things more than I do because that's God's economy. I'm going to roll this off of my shoulders, and I'm going to go to him and put it on his shoulders. Remember, the government will be on his shoulders.
Yeah.
See, if you lay it on him, his shoulders are broad. And she would have went to him and said, honey, I understand God's program, and I don't know what to do about it. This is out of my understanding, out of my domain. I can't operate on this because I don't understand it. But I'm going to give it to you, and this is what the serpent's been telling me. This is what he's been telling me. And Adam would have said, uh-uh. The word of the hour would have corrected the error.
Yeah.
And therefore, it wouldn't have happened what happened. See, that's the concept. She broke ranks. She didn't honor that system that was in place. And when the serpent began to talk to her, she let him beguile her. It caused her, instead of going up the chain of command in that single file of authority, right straight to that first, her husband, she got her instructions from some other person,
right,
or other being. So she didn't follow any kind of process. And that's what happened. The scripture says, this is condemnation. The light came into the world, and men wouldn't come to that because their deeds were proved.
Right.
The scriptures has never told us that God destroys people because they're sinners. They're going to be destroyed because when he showed them the way, they didn't accept that way. That's the destruction, because he's not going to destroy people. You know, we were born in this world as sinners, and I didn't ask to be born as a sinner, but it was just put upon us because of our fault. So now we're here, it's not our fault, and God's not going to destroy us because we're sinners, but when he comes along and presents truth to us and a way out, and then to reject that, now that's a different story. And so when he tells you truth, what? When he shows you chain of command, and you don't follow that, you step out and go some other route, there's the problem. And this is what Eve did right there at the beginning. She didn't stay behind that 40-foot thick wall of the Word, I think, is maybe the way Brother said it. That would simply mean she didn't go and consult the Word of the Hour, which was her prophet husband.
Right.
And that's the problem. And that's the thing that has fallen all through the ages. This whole thing about serpent beguiling and tricking her and her bringing forth a different seed because she wasn't true and she got tricked. That's the same pattern that has fallen all through the ages. And it's here with us today. It's that same. That's why that original sin is such an important doctrine for us in this hour. And so, he would have, if he would have, she would have went to him, then he, and what I want you to see here is that anytime someone goes to their head, they're going to Christ. And when that head gives the answer back to prevent the problem, Christ has been put into there. So Christ has been the prevention. He's been added. He's been brought into the situation. And so if she would have went, then he would have been a preventer of the thing that would happen. So before the sin ever struck, when Satan began to meddle through the serpent, if the Word had been consulted and that's what had been operated on, then there wouldn't have been. So he's the answer. He's the solution. He is, even before the problem comes.
Yeah.
If he's consulted, even David had things that he thought were, but he didn't consult the prophet. So what did he do? He went out and did something wrong, and an innocent man died. Right?
Right.
Innocent man died because he didn't consult the Word.
Yeah.
And so that's the way this works. If she would have went, it would have been the answer. But what I want you to see tonight is that even after she didn't go to him and a problem arose from that, he's still the answer. He's still the answer. That's why I'm titling this, in every situation, he is the answer. Christ is the answer. Because she would have went to Christ, her husband, he would have, ahead of time, he would have solved the problem before it ever started, and there wouldn't have been a problem. But even after she did wrong and needed redemption, her husband was still the answer because he's the Redeemer.
Right.
He's the one that can fix every problem that comes along. Now, I'm speaking of husbands and wives. I'm speaking of parents and children. I'm speaking of all these different places. He can fix whatever. And so even after the problem, while the problem's going on, he's the answer. And even after the problem has happened, he's the answer. So in all situations, he's the answer. So he can prevent it. He can also cure it after it's over, after it's happened. And so now when we think about this, every verse, every line in the scripture speaks of Christ. Because we can look at the scriptures and we can see why they failed. Why did they fail? They failed to consult the Word. We can see through the scriptures they were victorious. Why were they victorious? Because they consulted the Word.
That's right.
They got themselves into trouble, got into bondage because they didn't consult Him. And how did they get out of it? They brought Christ back into it. They did consult Him, and He brought them right back out of it. Time and time again in the scriptures. So He's the answer both before, during, and after. Brother Rev said that whenever they went out and picked those wild gourds or whatever, and they stuck it in the pot, and they took a taste of it and said, oh, death is in the pot. And you know what they did? They went and got the meal offering. And Brother Rev said, every little, I don't know, understand it all, but every little piece was ground the same. It was all Christ. And when they put that meal in that pot, it got rid of the death and brought life to the pot. Brother Rev said, that was Christ. They stuck Christ in there.
Yeah.
And so no matter what happens, if we can just get Him in the situation, life will be there, because why? He is life.
Yeah.
And that's why I said, He's got to be in every verse and every line, every story, every concept, every example that's there. It all has to be talking about a concept that He is the answer before, during, and after anything.
Right.
He's the answer. And so, we see how they overcome. So when the scripture said it's by Him and for Him, it's for His purpose. I want to say it that way. For His purpose. A lot of people, I think most people probably could say, oh, okay, everything was made by Him. I understand it. Made by Him. Yeah. But the scripture said, the same scripture said, for Him.
Right.
And we understand it. Thank God for a prophet and an end time message. That a prophet come along and let us understand this, that God purposely left the gate open. Because He was a Savior, He was a healer, a comforter, He was all kinds of attributes that He wanted to express. He wanted to express, and He couldn't express those unless there was someone who needed to be saved. He couldn't be a healer unless somebody needed to be healed. He couldn't be a comforter unless somebody needed comforting.
Right.
So there was a whole side of attributes that if we stood there and fellowshiped with Him throughout all eternity, just face to face, we'd never understand Him as a Savior. We'd never understand just how far He would go in His love to help us. We wouldn't understand that.
Right.
We wouldn't fully understand the potential and power of our lovely one if these things haven't happened. He had those potentials there, and they were locked up. And so this plan was made to loose those things, and the only way they could be loosed is if He left the gate open. If you want to say it that way, I forget exactly how Brother Branham said it, but you find out that in marriage and divorce, man was in the original creation, animals in the original creation, the woman was not. She was a byproduct, and He said He had to make her that way because in His original creation, all things represented Him as in that way, and it couldn't have been perverted like that. And so He had to make something that was outside of that original, and that would have been, and He purposely did that, and so that was the door that was left open. And He knew that Satan would try to go after that, knew that would be a problem, but it was through that it opened up the avenue that He could be the Savior, He could be the healer, He could be the comforter. He could be all those things. He could be a father. He could be a son. He could be a wife, a husband. He could do all those things through this plan that opened up. And so when it says it was by Him and for Him, everything was done for that purpose, for Him, that He could express Himself totally and completely to us, even the side of things that meant He would be a Savior, and there would have to be somebody that needed to be saved and somebody that would be healed and that sort of thing. And so, He left the door open, the gate open in the garden there. And you find out, as I said, Adam could have told her, but he didn't. So the gate was left open. He could have told her, and that would have just cut it right off. Satan couldn't have done nothing.
Yeah.
But he purposely held off. Why? Because He was Christ, and Christ was mimicking through Him things of ages to come. And so, you find out that He didn't tell her, and it opened the doorway, and things happened, and yet He come along afterwards and still fixed it, was the remedy.
Yeah.
Right? We see He did the same thing with Abraham. Told Abraham, you'll be a father of nations, but at first He didn't tell him it was going to be Sarah.
Right.
It was way later that He said, it will be Sarah.
Yep.
God purposely said, I'm with you, this is going to... And yet left it open that Abraham could have the thing with Hagar.
Yep.
Well, that problem is exactly why we have what we have in the Middle East today, because of that right there. And God purposely, God could have said right off the bat, Abraham, it'll be you, it'll be your loins, because at first he didn't even say his loins. So it'll be you, and then he said, well, it's Eliezer. No, not Eliezer, it'll be out of your loins. So then he goes with that, okay, my loins, out of me, out of me. But he hadn't said nothing about Sarah yet.
Yeah.
And so that left room for Hagar. Then he had this Hagar, had this Ishmael, which is what we have today. And then God said, no, it's not going to be him, but out of Sarah. So God purposely withheld that information. He could have told him right up front and say, it'll be you, it'll be Sarah, nobody else. And all that Hagar and all that nonsense wouldn't have happened.
Right.
And we wouldn't have what we have today.
Yeah.
So he purposely left that way. What? By him and for him, that his attributes and his abilities could be made known. It came that way. Same way with seven church ages. God could have come right down in Paul's day and could have just laid this whole plan right out right there and said, this is the revelation of the whole thing. But he didn't.
Yeah.
And look what has happened throughout the ages because he didn't do that. But he reserved it right here for the end. Why? Here's what I want us to get at here. God's program is so big. God is such a Savior. He is the answer before, during, and after. There's nothing that can happen that will get it outside of the bounds that He can't answer it.
Yeah.
He can't answer it because He is the answer.
Yeah.
That's what I'm showing you here. And so he could purposely leave something off that would cause troubles, but as long as He's the answer before, during, and after, it's still His program and He's still God.
Amen.
And He's still that answer. And nothing can happen that'll get outside of that. He can help you no matter what. Same way through with Abraham. Abraham did things that you're like, why'd you do that for? You got trouble once for that, now you're doing it again? But you see, it was all God's program, and God's still the answer, even though the mistakes were made, even though we made mistakes, even though the church got off the word in the early days, even that first church ages lost their first love.
Right.
Even though all that, God left that door open knowing that was going to happen. Why? Because we're humans. He's the only one that's perfect. So He knows that that's the way it is. But He also knows that He's the answer. And regardless of all that nonsense that happened and all the people have died and all that, He knows that right here at the end, He'll be the answer for everything there was.
Right.
He knows He will. So what I'm speaking to you tonight is Him being the answer to every situation. Because I'm taking a new understanding here that He's given me on this, that it'll make a difference what you're going through. He's that answer.
And He's
being the answer, and your situation is a contrast to Him. A contrast. So the worse off you are, maybe in sickness, we'll say in sickness, the worse you are off sick, the much greater healer He shows Himself to be.
Amen.
Because He's the answer.
That's right.
You're deep in, so deep in sin, that's just how much of a Savior He really is. You can't go to, just remember, because contrast is like between black and white. And the blacker black gets, the more white looks.
That's right.
Or the whiter the white gets, the more black looks. And so the more deep in sin somebody goes, that's just that much more glory that shines because He's the answer.
Amen.
And that's why you can see Him on every verse and every line. When somebody did something hideous, He's the answer of that. It's all speaking of Him. And so that's what every verse, every line, and you look at it from that way. He left that door open to show. He left doors open to show that humanity, let every man be a liar, that God's word be true. He did all that so it could all play out and we could all come to the conclusion, you know what? They ain't but one. We're convinced. All humanity will be convinced someday. Every knee will bow and say, you know what? There's only been one that's been right all along, and it's been Him.
Amen.
So everything plays out, but He has to let it play out that way, because if He hadn't let it go that way, we could stand and say, you know what? I got a better idea than you do. So He said, okay, there you go. And look what we do with it until we all come to the place that, you know what? My life's a mess, and I got to go to Him. I got to get back in file and go right back and honor that ranking system that God has given. I've got to do that if I want to be fixed. So He, Christ, going to my the leadership before me, that's the answer, and that's the gift of God to me.
Amen.
And that's what we have to do. And so you find out that he had to let those things happen that way. Why? To show that when people leave him out, look where it goes.
That's right.
When they leave him out, look where it goes. And he had to let these things happen the way it did so that it could be shown that when they're in the midst of it, he's still the answer. Even though he got away from it, get back to him. He'll still fix it.
Amen.
He'll still fix our problems. Brother Graham said that man laying there dying, that soldier laying dying on the field. And the chaplain said, where'd you find him? Where'd you leave him at? He said, I used to be a Christian. Well, where'd you leave him? You better find him, because that's right where you'll find him, where you walked off from him. And the man had to say, now lay me down to sleep. He had left Jesus Christ when he was a little boy, saying his prayers when you go to bed at night. And that chaplain had enough wisdom to know that you'll go right back there, and that's where you'll find him. And as soon as you go right back to him, there's your answer.
Amen.
And where you are don't matter. Unless, as long as you're here. Where you are, what your condition is, it don't make no difference. He can do it.
Amen.
That's why Brother Bram said that when I quoted the other day, and he said, some guy said, oh, I'm afraid he won't heal me because I did something wrong the other day. Brother Bram said, oh, yes, he will.
Amen.
Because you can't, it's just a contrast. And if people could ever look at that and say, you know what? Then let my life be the glory of God, let it shine through that to show that he could save a prostitute. He could save a sinner like me and a drunkard or whatever it might be. He could save that and let him do it because he is the answer. Instead of taking the thought, well, I'm just too far. He can't do it. That's ridiculous.
Amen.
The only way a person goes too far is when they go until they just reject him and they go off the scene out of this world and as it dies in sin and rejecting him, and then the way the tree lands, that's the way it's going to lay. And so those things happen to show that when he's left out, look what happens. Those things happen to show that when he's brought back in, even in the midst of the judgment, because they left him out, he'll come to your rescue anyway. If my people's anywhere around the world and they're in trouble, if they'll just pray toward Jerusalem,
right,
while that sacrifice is on there, just turn there and pray.
Yep.
And here's Jonah down in that well, and he's like, I'm going to pray once again. I'm going to look toward Jerusalem. How do you know which way Jerusalem was? You know, I think he's probably down in there doing like this on his knees, moving around back and forth. So at least he'll line up with Jerusalem, at least for a moment while he prays.
Yeah.
But God's bigger than that. But the point is right there, even though my people would be out there and have done something wrong and got into trouble, if once again you'll remember me, I'll come to your rescue. And he didn't put condition on. He said, well, unless you do this, well, then I wouldn't hear it. It's not what it said.
That's right.
Saints, we're coming to a day where we're going to understand this. It's going to be different soon, saints.
Amen.
It's going to be different. If nothing else, it's going to be different right here in this church.
That's right.
It's going to be different. We do not have to fit in the mold of Laodicea.
Amen.
And just go right along at some mediocre level of comfort of whatever our Christian walk is in the message, and we're just keep right along like, no, it's going to be different.
Yeah.
It's going to be different. God is on the move, and I trust he's doing it all around the world, but at least in this group right here, God's on the move, and we're going to see things different. And so all that was to show that even during that, or after the problem happens, if we consult him, bring him, Christ, the meal offering, right back into the death pot, he'll fix it every time. He is the solution. Now, without knowing him as a Savior or healer, as I said a while ago, we wouldn't know him. If we didn't know him in that capacity, we wouldn't know him. We'd only know parts of him. And you see, it's as long as everything's good, oh, that looks wonderful, but see, what really shines is when things go wrong, and then you see that character. That's where it's really at. And so, see, maybe only 10% of Christ could have been shown to us without the fall. 90% of the character, the strength, and the greatness, and the glory of him could be shown to us because there was a fall.
Right.
because you and I came in this world in fallen flesh. Now we can really come to know Him in the full strength of what He is. But here's the problem. Satan wants us to think that, well, because we're in this, we reach places that He can't reach us anymore. And what I want to show you tonight is that this plan of God, the way this thing panned out was God's plan. And Satan's not ahead of Christ.
Right.
This is exactly the way God wanted to be. It's panned out to show His glory. It's by Him and for Him. It's to show His glory and to let us see the magnitude and let that be on display and to reveal that magnitude of His love to us. That's what it is. And if we didn't know Him that way, we wouldn't know Him in the full strength, and we couldn't know Him as that role model.
Right.
And the reason why I say that is because that's what I'm describing about Him. That's what He is. He is that love. He is that character. He is that merciful one. And He is our pattern.
Amen.
We have something in us that's like Him that has to grow to maturity to be like Him. So He is our mentor. He is our leadership. If I follow His instructions, I'll be promoted in status someday to be more like Him.
Yeah.
If I was following my sergeant, someday I'll be a sergeant. If a sergeant follows general, someday he'll be a general. That's the rank and file system. God wants to come down and elevate us to share with Him His position in glory. And there's different ways you can look at it. That's what He wants to do, to share that with us. So He is our role model. And this whole plan is His design to be that way, both before, during, and after. I don't care about no difference what it is. Just go right back to Him. Go right back and honor that structure in your homes, husbands and wives. Go right back to that structure the Bible tells you. And if a man would say, you know what, my wife came to me with a problem, I don't know the answer to. You turn around and go to your head. And roll it off on His shoulders. Say, God, I don't know. I do not. And when He speaks to you and say, ah, now I know, then you turn around and you go right back. And that's exactly what. Saints, that's what I do when I come here to preach.
Yeah.
When He shows me something more clearly, I come here because I just like Brother Brandon said, to call the church up and tell them, come on now, I got something for you. That's kind of the way I feel about it. And so that's the way the whole thing worked. But I have sense enough, I trust I always will, by God's grace, to know that I don't want to come up here and tell you my thoughts on the matter, but I need to hear from Him on things.
Yeah.
And when it happens, then it'll help you. And so I know any minister, Brother Daniel, can tell you he understands that concept. You need to hear from God first. And so this was a plan designed that way. Designed so that your situation will be a contrast to what He is, to show His greatness and to show who He is. And don't let anybody ever, I know He tells you all the time, Satan does, but don't let anybody tell you that it's different than that. Your situation is a contrast to the glory of God, and He's still the answer. And as soon as we get Him back into the picture, no matter what, we'll be just fine. Don't let anybody tell you other than that, because in order to accept anything other than that is to accept this, is to say, Christ failed. To let ourselves be beguiled from that concept. To say, you know what? I do have a situation he can't be the answer for. That's a lie, but to believe that is to say, He failed.
Yeah.
To say He's not the answer, but He is the answer.
Yeah.
He sure is. Satan's the one that's not the answer.
Right.
Christ is the answer. He's never failed, and He never will fail. And so, I'll leave it with you now as we get ready to close the service. To always remember, take it to Him.
Yeah.
Take it, honor the leadership, the rank and file system of God. Honor the leadership of God. And use that to your advantage, because you know what? I say to your advantage, but use that because that's what God provided it for. That's what God gave it to you for. You know, I know that me as a minister, Brother Daniel as a minister, I realize that we're mere men. But I also realize that God speaks to us and through us. I do realize that. And I also realize that if the congregation can ever get a revelation, same kind of revelation, a wife came with her husband, or children with the parents, or a husband with Christ, whatever, there's also an element of the ministry in the church. And if the people would get a revelation and realize there's a program here. And we're not talking about the man who's got mistakes and all that. Husbands have mistakes, wives have mistakes, all that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about recognizing the structure, the rank and file that God has put in place, and saying, you know what? And I know that if people had the right attitude about that structure, they could come to the ministry in this church with whatever need they needed, and that need would be met.
Amen.
But it all goes back to that understanding and attitude toward that. And if that attitude is not right, then they can't touch through that. See, if a woman's attitude is not right with her husband, it don't work out right. And all that's just speaking of these things that are types of Christ, to go right back to saying, He is the Word. We've got to have the right attitude, and we've got to put Him into every situation.
Right.
And I believe that in these small ways where we submit to our leadership in our own life in individuals, I believe He's glorified in that, because it's a pattern pointing to Him. Amen. Let's bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, we pray, God, tonight that the words that have been spoken, Lord, just go into the hearts of people. Lord, even into mine, Lord, as we minister and caught up into the inspiration of Your Word, Lord, I pray, God, that as we come down from that, that these truths will be lodged down in our heart and our soul, and not be destroyed. That in days ahead, when we struggle with our enemies, Lord, that we can reach down into the pouch of the stones that You've given us to fight our Goliaths. Lord, we could reach down in there and find a new stone, one that wasn't there before, that we could take out and use. Lord, that we could become a more effective people in this day to live Your life in the presence of this wicked generation. I know, God, that Your people are called to be overcomers. Lord, we are called to be victorious in things. And I believe, Lord, and confess, between now and body change time, Lord, I believe with all my heart that each one of us will become more and more effective at destroying our enemy's works by surrendering to You, Lord. Lord, I pray that You just allow these things to be infused into our minds and our hearts, and bring it to our remembrance, God, because You said You would bring those things to remembrance, what You've spoken. If You've spoken to us tonight in these things, Lord, lodge them in there, bring them forth as they're needed, and we'll always give You the glory. Thank You for it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God's good to us.
Amen. Oh,
You know, saints, I can tell you that everything about this modern generation that Satan and Satan's Eden is designed to keep you from what I talked about tonight. Keep you from exercising in your life what I talked about tonight on recognizing that process of God and finding Him to be the answer of every situation.
Right.
With the right revelation, a wife can go to her husband and say, I am approaching Jesus Christ. And I'm getting an answer today by approaching Him. And Christ will honor that and speak to that, through that, in ways He might not if your attitude wasn't right. You see, the whole world is designed so that wives won't have the right attitude. Husbands won't love their wives like Christ loved the church. Everything's all why? Because in going all that route, it takes Christ out of the picture. And Christ wants to be there.
Yeah.
In this hour, He was knocking at the door and wanting back in. God bless you. You be in prayer for services coming up. I feel like the Lord wants me to do it. I don't know if it'll be a series. I think it will. A series on how can I overcome. You're dealing with me with overcoming power. Dealing with me about that concept. And so I like it. I like it when the Lord deals with me. Because I know that when I see something that liberates me in things in my life, I know that I can come and share it with you and it'll help you.
Amen.
And so I'm excited about that. I just want it to be Him. I'm not wanting anybody to see anything other than Christ working and moving. But I realize He works through individuals and I want to do my part. Brother Daniel wants to do his part. We all want to do our part. But you be in prayer because I do believe that we're going to see a move of God. I already think that we've already seen some things, but I don't mean... to me, I just want it to be something that's not like just a great little something and then it fizzles out. I mean, I want to see something that continues to grow and grow and grow until our bodies are changed.
Amen.
And I don't necessarily mean growing in numbers. That's not what I'm talking
right.
about. Whatever God wants to do. But what I'm talking about is growing in the favor and the presence of the Holy Ghost in our life, overcoming more and more, defeating more and more of our enemies. That's what I'm talking about. God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.